It's Friday!
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
Passing, the steam is steaming, the stream is streaming, and it's Friday on the front porch on the horn. Hi, I'm Robin. Here in about an hour or so, we'll go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves to gather together around the extraordinary ordinary round table, see what's on everybody's mind. But before then, yeah, we've got stuff to take care of, stuff to look into. Oh, goodness me, yes, we certainly do. But for now, just to get things rolling, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, the great globe round, we'll run on over to headon.live, click on chat room, pop right in, grab yourself a screen name and a password if you never have before. It's free and it's easy. And you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Irish Dave and Anatole, and thoroughly and competently moderated by, well, me. Yeah, the Irish Dave asked a few minutes ago, okay, whose day is it to keep track of the mods location? Oh, there's Roger in Oregon popping in. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. Because I ain't no good at this moderating business. I'm not. I'm really not. Folks, be glad to see you. And, of course, I trust that the banner is up at headon.live. Just click on that, and it'll carry you right into the Skype group, and you can be part of the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. But every program here at the Horn, it is, by the way, the 14th day of April 2023. It was rainy all morning long, and then the sun broke through, and, ooh, I was outside in a sleeveless top, and I actually felt the sun on my back, and it's, oh, somebody's going to be playing in the sun soon. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That. Ooh, it felt nice. So nice. So nice. So, I'm hoping maybe the weekend won't be a total washout, but, you know, it may, and that's all right. But, like I said, there's a lot to go into this evening. There always is, you know, the 15-microsecond news cycle now that we deal with. There's Sparky popping by, longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has folded space to become Man Cave. And says he planted his garden today, so there will be I trust Sparky will have his annual 4th of July red, ripe, juicy, wonderful tomato. Glad to know it, Sparky. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so we say thank you to our 14th day of the month subscribers. Thank you so very much to Matt in San Francisco, and thank you to Ralphs up in New Jersey. Thank you so much. By the way, Don in British Columbia your challenge got met, finished up just shortly after the program yesterday evening. So that was very helpful. And I thank the anonymous individual who did that. So that gets us down to 1,580 dollars to go in fundraising. And then a message I will share later. Our dear friend Jessica up in Minnesota also jumped in. So that's 1,565. Thank you, Jessica. And thank you so very much. Much appreciated. So, yeah, $1,565. That basically is, that means that this entire week is unfunded. But we've only got $65 to go with for last Friday. And mid-months can get this way, but I need to make clear that the stuff that has to be paid has to be paid. And, you know, everything's an existential crisis around here because I don't have my own money print and press. I've already hocked the Maybach and the Gulfstream 5, and the pool guy ran off with the upstairs housemaid, and we paved over the pancreas-shaped Olympic-sized swimming pool. I was proud of that. It was the only pancreas-shaped Olympic-sized swimming pool in the United States, darn it. But there is some light. There is some light in the tunnel. An anonymous friend of ours has said, if you can raise $150 tonight, I'll give up to $300 in a potential Have a Show on Me tax time 2-for-1 tripling challenge. Thank you so much. So if we can find 15 people with $10 or 10 people with $15 or one person with $150 or two at $75 or four at $37.50, etc., that will be tripled. And that will knock down the fundraising goal to $1,110. And we'll have a little bit of this week funded. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I'm sorry to even have to talk about this, but I also say that all the time. I mean, this is not my favorite way to go about running a railroad or radio network. So where do we begin? What's that? Scott in San Diego. This just in. Looks like that family of raccoons living inside Donald Trump's head had finally chewed through all the wires. Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in on the tripling challenge. Thank you so much. There's only $125 to go on that now. Thank you, Ralphs. You're there. You're there so often. You are so kind. And I can never thank you enough for all that you do for this community. Thank you. The raccoon. Here I was thinking it was spirochetes, Scott, but no. Family of raccoons living in Donald Trump's head. Trash pandas. I mean, trash pandas play in the trash. And well, there we are. Let's see. Hey, George, in Coarse Gold. Noticed several months ago that Malloy was doing his podcasts on Head On less frequently and then stopped altogether. I was concerned because of the crazy maggots in Georgia. Then I heard you say that you and Tara were hosting Malloy's show. Do I have to join, tune in to hear Malloy? It's not so much join. It's the TuneIn app, and you just get it, and you search for Progressive Voices if you want to get Malloy, and you can listen live. But you have to, I think you have to subscribe to Malloy to get the podcasts or something. I'm not sure exactly how it works, and there's bonus content, and but the live show airs every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Progressive Voices app on TuneIn. And, you know, I'd love for us to be running it here, too, but and we may yet again. It is strictly and solely a technical issue of technical stuff. I mean, I don't want to wander off into the weeds and start playing internet radio night baseball or anything, because I can already hear eyes rolling into the backs of heads. Now you see, it's a thing with the flageolet. The flageolet's obviously not properly insynchronating with the Knutton valve, and that prevents the connection from fully marginalizing through the series of two. Yeah. Just no. So in about 50 minutes or so, we will jump on over to the old holler tree and do some Friday on the front porch. And it would be wonderful if we could raise that first $125 and before we go to the old holler tree, because things are rough and things are a little bit, it's another one of those crazy ass power bills. Okay, I think I pay I'm going to be paying $480 a month for the rest of the year, and it's just madness. At some point in time, I hope to knock that down. Okay, Randy Radar reminds me there's a Progressive Voices app for the iPhone. That's true. And there's a Free Speech TV app for the iPhone, too. It gives video, but I don't think Mike's on Free Speech TV. Is he, Randy? Did I miss that? But yeah, there is a Progressive Voices app for the iPhone. I don't know if you got an iPhone, George, but Ralphs wants to know, raccoons? Maybe these are the what's in Donnie's head, namely possums. Oh, Ralphs, I'd hate to think it was possums. I like possums a lot. They're sweet little critters. They can even learn to be friendly. We've had watch possums here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. They like cat food a lot. Sometimes they bring their babies, and they've got that. They look kind of scary, and they'll show their teeth, but they're really gentle, and they're never rabid. And we know that Nitwit Nero's rabid, so. I don't think it's possums, Ralphs. I hope it's not possums. Maybe it's some creature that feeds on feces or something. That would make sense. And let's see. Big news, and thank you to George and Course Gold. Thank you. We are now down to $100 to go on that challenge. The tripling challenge. Remember, that's not your money gets doubled, that's your money gets tripled. Thank you. Randy Radar says, possums may be sweet, but they've got really sharp front teeth. Do you have empirical data to say? Because I've never known them to bite anything, and I mean, I've been around them. Did you... Randy, did you antagonize a possum? Is that what we're talking about here? By the way, the Supreme Court of the United States, our 13, including our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, today stayed briefly the ruling of the maggot judge and misogynist Kaczmarek down in Texas that limited access to the to mifepristone, also known as RU486, which has been tested all over creation and was approved by the FDA 20 years ago. So it remains to be seen what they will do ultimately with regard to that life-saving medication that's also used for women who have had spontaneous abortions. And of all people to do this, the biggest misogynist on the court, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, entered the injunction today. It's He also overrode the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals attempt to keep people from having access to it. So, at least through midnight Wednesday, April 19th, the United States Mails can, U.S. Postal Service, United States Mails just didn't sound quite right, U.S. Postal Service can continue to ship mifepristone. And mifepristone, of course, can be used through the 10th week of pregnancy. Our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties have given everybody in the case till noon Tuesday to submit their responses. And we have battling opinions now from a court in Washington State. And of course, the maggot misogynist, is that redundant? Matthew Kaczmarek, the best part of whom ran down his mother's leg. Kind of a shame mifepristone wasn't around back when Mrs. Kaczmarek found out that she had a monster in her. But speaking of the Supreme Court, God bless, God. God bless Sheldon Whitehouse. Charlene, up there in Rogues Island, you've got yourself one heck of a senator there. And Sheldon Whitehouse has made it clear over the years that he is absolutely disgusted by the rank and rampant politicization of the Supreme Court by the right wing in this country, primarily the Federalist Society. Things are getting hotter and hotter for Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas. He, of course, is saying nothing. And I think old Balls and Strikes John Roberts is just flat scared of him. And, of course, we discussed yesterday the $133,000 payment that Harlan Crow made to buy Clarence's mama's house, where I think Clarence's mama continues to be a tenant. Clarence didn't disclose it, violating federal law. And more people are calling for, outright impeachment, or perhaps a federal DOJ investigation of a violation of the law. Finally, yesterday, Harlan Crow said, by the way, Fappy's mama continued to live in the house until at least 2020. Harlan Crow put out a statement saying that he hoped to one day create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice. I approached the Thomas family about my desire to maintain this historic site so future generations could learn about the inspiring life of one of our greatest Americans. What's that got to do with Fappy Thomas? And people are really beginning to pile on. One individual Brett Edkins who is the managing director of policy and political affairs for a group called Stand Up America, said, "It's clear now that Justice Thomas's vote on the Supreme Court is bought and paid for by right-wing billionaire Harlan Crow. Crow is not, as Thomas claims, his dearest friend so much as his corrupt benefactor. Thomas is unfit to serve on any court, let alone our nation's highest court. His failure to disclose his close financial dealings with a GOP billionaire has single-handedly destroyed what little credibility this MAGA court had left. Failing to hold Justice Thomas accountable, hold hearings, and pass the Supreme Court Code of Ethics would be a dereliction of duty." And then, reminding us that history is a thing, Brett Edkins said, former Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas resigned from the court under threat of impeachment for less. And while impeachment may not be possible here with Republicans in control of the House, Thomas needs to face real accountability for his likely illegal behavior. Polls show that if Senate Democrats act, the public will strongly support them. That's important, because Senate Democrats, like House Democrats, politicians live and die by polls. Brian Fallon, the executive director of Demand Justice, said this shady land deal amounts to a payoff of a sitting Supreme Court justice, plain and simple. Senate Democrats need to announce a thorough investigation into the details of Clarence Thomas's ties to Harlan Crow, including calling witnesses to get to the bottom of their financial relationship and Thomas's apparent lawbreaking. Look, it would not be improper. It would not be impossible. I would say, in fact, that it's necessary. The Senate Committee on the Judiciary needs to take this issue up quickly, hold hearings, call witnesses, and then at the end of the hearings, if the hearings bear out what we already know via the investigation by ProPublica, then the Senate would be within its rights in the Judiciary Committee to recommend to the Department of Justice that they charge Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can, Fappy Thomas, for his crimes of nondisclosure. Of course, I'm a wild-eyed leftist, so I think it would be kind of neat if we could finally get around to charging him with perjuring himself, you know, in his confirmation hearings. Good bit of perjury been going on in the Supreme Court confirmation hearings among the most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesty segment majority of the court. Matt in San Francisco adding, "And he signed and had the sale notarized at the Supreme Court. He's just such an arrogant mother fella. In a just world, he would be removed post-haste." And you know, it occurred to me, there's this long-standing argument between right-wingers on the court and people who actually care about democracy as to whether or not the Constitution is carved in stone, forever immutable. You know, that's your originalist punch, or if it is in fact a living document that changes with the times. And I think the fact that whoever has the majority in the House has the de facto will or will not impeach a corrupt justice actually disproves the originalism theory. Work with me on this. Because if the Constitution was carved in stone, forever immutable, then this House, even though it's got a slim maggot majority, this House would impeach him without regard to politics, based solely upon the text of the Constitution as ratified in 1787. And the impeachment language in the Constitution has not changed since 1787. But the fact that a bunch of corrupt Republican members of the House will not impeach a corrupt member of the House, or a corrupt member of the Supreme Court, I should say, means that the Constitution is alive and well, and what it says about impeachment is not what it means about impeachment. Of course, you could look as far back as the 90s and the great cleanest hunt to realize that as well. Gary, our buddy labor man out in New Mexico, says, disclose to whom? What does it mean, and hasn't he committed a tax evasion? Well, you could say it, failure to, yeah, maybe. But the disclosure forms are government ethics forms. These disclosures were required as a function of statutes that were passed in the immediate aftermath of Watergate, because there was so much financial skullduggery and malfeasance involved in the entire Watergate anti-constitutional mini coup, that with Richard Nixon's shenanigans and his minions' behavior in mind, Congress passed laws that said that financial transactions have to be disclosed. And where real estate is concerned, anything over $1,000. This is a lot more than $1,000. And by the way, a message going back to George from Dave and the Blind. On the TuneIn app, you need to look up the Mike Malloy Show. It will go to a thing that will go live at 9 Eastern. Progressive Voices usually puts Stephanie Miller on repeat on at 9. What? Back to the possums, Scott in San Diego says, possums, and as Granny Clampett knows, they make a mighty fine broth.
Yeah, sure.
Randy Radar observes, they aren't even following their own laws. Trump for president in 2024, despite the 14th Amendment, anyone?
Well, someone would have... The problem with the 14th Amendment approach is that someone would have to make a finding under it. A court would have to determine that he had participated in an insurrection against the government of the United States. That has not thus far been proven and stated as a judicial fact. So back to Sheldon Whitehouse. He and other Senate Democrats and House Democrats sent a letter to the Chief Justice, old Balls and Strikes, a week ago. Old Balls and Strikes has yet to respond. And they are calling now for a DOJ investigation, just as I described. And Senator Whitehouse said it would be best for the Chief Justice to commence a proper investigation, but after a week of silence from the court and this latest disturbing reporting, I'm urging the Judicial Conference to step in and refer Justice Thomas to the Attorney General for investigation. So Sheldon Whitehouse is all for just skipping the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings, all of that. No. And the Judicial Conference, we can all be forgiven if we don't necessarily know what it is. It's actually something you don't hear about a whole lot. It's a committee headed by old Balls and Strikes, with membership comprised of the chief judge from each judicial circuit, as well as some other ad hoc federal judges. Sheldon Whitehouse, however, you know, he crosses his T's and dots his I's, says that it appears that Clarence Thomas has sort of trampled on the Ethics in Government Act, and that kind of goes to Gary's question, you know, disclose to whom. It's a function of the Ethics in Government Act. And in Sheldon Whitehouse's statement, he re-ups his call for the Chief Justice to launch an ethics investigation. I don't know. I think I'd rather have the Senate Judiciary Committee do this, because the last time that old Balls and Strikes held a judicial investigation, do we remember how that one turned out? Because in the final analysis, Fappy Thomas is not the only problem that the Supreme Court has. For instance, a number of credible accusations of sexual misconduct against Brett Kavanaugh were simply swept under the rug once he got onto the Supreme Court, because he got onto the Supreme Court, not because the charges were disproven or found to be frivolous, but simply because he was confirmed to the Supreme Court, sworn in, and that was the end of it. And that's not all. The investigation, the previous one that I mentioned, that doesn't exactly inspire my confidence in the Supreme Court's ability to investigate itself, that was with regard to the leak of the Dobbs decision. And we talked at length about this, about how there was no percentage in leaking the Dobbs decision late if the leaker was a liberal. That if you're going to leak that, it needed to leak early on in order to mobilize people so that people could protest and take to the streets and march and whatever. That in fact, that logic rather dictates that the reason that Dobbs was leaked when it was that the leaker wanted to harden the commitment of the Dobbs majority to the absolute overturning of Roe versus Wade. And again, at great length, we talked about how the most likely leaker was probably Sammy Bad Breath himself, the author of the decision, who wanted to make sure that Brat nor Gorsuch nor the handmaid got all squishy and went over to craft some sort of third way, middle of the road sort of ruling. And the leaker got their wish. So, and remember, who did old Balls and Strikes hire for some ungodly amount of money to investigate the investigation? Wasn't it that the first Homeland Security Secretary, Skeletor? Remember him? And he did exactly as he was supposed to do, writing a report saying, well, there's not much more that we can do, and I guess we'll just never know who leaked the decision. Darn, it's too bad. And I don't think there's many doubts in people's minds at this point that it was either Sammy Bad Breath or Fappy Thomas. I still think the leading contender. So, no. let's just skip any investigation by the Supreme Court of itself. And let's not put a hell of a lot of confidence in the judicial conference. Let's just go with the referral to Merrick Garland and wait and wait and wait and wait to see if Merrick will do anything about it. Every now and then I confess, I do a little fantasizing. This latest fantasy of mine involves us all being absolutely wrong about Merrick Garland and maybe him already having sent a note over to Jack Smith saying, "Hey, I know you're busy, but could you look into would you look into Clarence Thomas, please? Because he seems kind of dirty." That's one of my fantasies. I mean, it is. It just totally makes my heart go pitter-pat. And like most fantasies, you know, it's never going to happen. But it sure is fun to think about. No, we do not, Gary. We really don't know that Fappy claimed the house sale on his tax filings. I'm sure it was a gift. Right. Hell, that could be money laundering, too, when you think about it, Gary. Oh, and Roger in Oregon says, Progressive Voices put Mike on at 11 p.m. Pacific. Brad and Desi are on at 10 p.m. I have no idea. I really don't. But continuing, Senator Whitehouse also said on Twitter today, of all people, Supreme Court justices should not be operating outside the law. The task of investigating these violations is conferred by law on the Attorney General. Then the statement from yesterday from Senator Whitehouse said, last spring, Whitehouse and Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia wrote to Chief Justice Roberts requesting that he ensure that Justice Thomas recuse himself from cases involving his wife's activities related to the 2020 election and the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Thomas has refused to recuse himself or acknowledge the possible conflict of interest in multiple cases. Chief Justice Roberts has taken no known action on this matter to date. He's got to go. In anything vaguely resembling a just world, he has got to go. Yeah, I know, Scott. Scott says, make that Merrick endlessly spinning rainbow ball garland. You know, you were a happy, optimistic man when you first came to the Horn Family Community Congregation. And Scott, look what we've done to you. Took all that out behind the woodshed and just bashed it. Darlene in Connecticut says, if I understood Lawrence O'Donnell correctly, Old Crow swooped in and bought Fappy's childhood home immediately after he was confirmed to the SCOTUS. This smacks of a tradition to me for favors. I think, or pattern and practice, is that it? I think all the justices should be investigated on who they're hanging with and what gifts are being bestowed upon them. They didn't even wait for Kavanaugh to be confirmed. They cleared away all his gambling and mortgage debts during the confirmation hearings. Hi, Leonard Leo. That's true. But the house transaction was 2014, was it not? And that's long after Fappy gets on the court. And I guess we should... Oh, what's that? Scary Jerry says, Harlan Crow, DC comic supervillain. Firstly, this Fappy Mama House deal is as shady as the Whitewater deal was allegedly. Also being that all medication is now political, if I were to sell femchems, would a church or super PAC be a best bet? I'd go church. Because it's a function of your sincerely held religious beliefs. And you can do anything in America as long as you have sincerely held religious beliefs. Right? I mean, I just wanted to share something. We'll get back to the little shitbird who leaked documents later. But I thought it might be beneficial to consider, put it this way. You remember, we talked about it, Greg Asbot down in Texas has promised to pardon a dude, a murderer. Whom people are calling a patriot. His name is Daniel Perry. Seventy-six pages of Perry's messages have been released. And Perry is convicted, hence requiring the gubernatorial pardon of Greg Asbot. Daniel Perry was chatting with someone named Justin Smith. And Daniel Perry doesn't like Black Lives Matter protesters. Daniel Perry saying in this chat, I might have to kill a few people on my way to work. They are rioting outside my apartment complex. No one was rioting. Justin Smith responded, can you legally do so? Daniel Perry said, if they attack me or try to pull me out of my car, then yes. And then said, if I just do it because I'm driving by, then no. Justin Smith says, yeah, right, LOL. Justin Smith goes on and says, make sure to use only one shot on the protesters, so if they try to flood you, you got enough rounds for them all. To which Daniel Perry replies, I will only shoot the ones in front and push the pedal to the metal. Justin Smith replies, you got that much control over your bloodlust? Justin Smith said, lol, boy, have you matured. All you would beat the fuck out of them, then rape a few. Daniel Perry, whom the right wing has decided is a hero, said, look, I would probably barely have ammo left over with this tactic. I have to conserve my ammo for the trip back to home. No protesters go near me or my car. Justin Smith replies, can you catch me a Negro daddy? Daniel Perry says, that's what I'm hoping. And Justin Smith says, yay! And he went on, of course, to murder a black man. Because, I mean, freedom? No. No. But that's who, you know, that's what passes for a hero. And I mentioned the little shitbird up in Massachusetts who's now in custody. He's also what passes for a hero. He made his first court appearance today as he was being handcuffed and led out of the courtroom after his arraignment. Someone in the front row of the courtroom called out, Love you, Jack. And the traitor then turned around and said, love you too, Dad. The government sought pretrial detention. The judge agreed to pretrial detention pending the result of a hearing that will be held next Wednesday. The thing is, the little 20-year-old, 21-year-old shitbird was a racist, a right-winger, and of course, a gun humper. It's that aspect of it is largely being downplayed, except in wingnut circles. Where instead he is being lauded, and I wish I was kidding, as a hero and a martyr. You know what name I'm going to mention next, don't you? Of course you do. Marginal Trailer Queen took to Twitter and said, Jake Teixeira is white, male, Christian, and anti-war. That makes him an enemy to the Biden regime. The real enemy is the administration that's waging war in Ukraine, a non-NATO nation against nuclear Russia without war powers. Jesus Christ. Well, that statement caused Liz Cheney, daughter of Dick, to suggest, and in this instance I agree with her, that Marge's security clearance should be revoked post-haste. That, of course, would, I think, require action by the weaker speaker, and Kevin, and of course Marge has Kevers' balls in a mason jar in the back of her refrigerator behind the pint jars of pee-pee that she drinks every day to hold back the Rona. Eric, it pissed Eric Swalwell right off. He accused Marge of being in cahoots with one of the biggest traitors in American history. And he also name-checked the weaker speaker and said that he should do something. He should at least denounce what Marge was saying. And referred to her somewhat correctly as weaker speaker's top lieutenant. Testicle toasting Tucky O'Rose Carlson, man of masculinity, is also braying and ballyhooing about the little shitbird. I wish I was kidding, but I'm not.
Now, our news media exist and have constitutional protection precisely in order to push back against this grotesque standard. Their only job is to tell the truth. And yet tonight, the news media are celebrating the capture of the kid who told Americans what's actually happening in Ukraine. They are treating him like Osama bin Laden, maybe a little worse, actually, because unlike Al-Qaeda, apparently this kid is a racist.
One, he's not a kid. He's a full-grown adult. And two, he's a racist. By his own admissions in his writing. and they're having a conniption about the presence of 14 members of the U.S. military in Ukraine, claiming that that makes us a direct combatant. It isn't. It doesn't. Those are training guys teaching Ukrainian soldiers how to use the weapons that we, the people, have provided to Ukraine to help them defend themselves. We're not shooting any guns. We're not launching any rockets. We're not flying any missions. We're not landing any air cav. Nothing. But this is what... How about that? Marge says that the Republican Party is now the anti-war party. Well, you know, you're anti-war? Go out there and, Marge, sponsor a bill to end, draft registration. Or on the other side of that coin, since you are a such a proponent of feminine equality, introduce a bill to make young women register for the draft too. Nah. Oh, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs confirming the house transaction with Pappy took place in 2014. Matt in San Francisco. Damn it, Scott! Uh-oh. Now I have a picture of a shirtless Merrick Garland spinning rainbow balls on the dance deck of a gay cruise. Thanks for nothing, Scott! You know, you didn't help, Matt. You made matters worse. Flavio says, Merrick Garland, you mean poltroonish, pusillanimous, craven, caitiff, lily-livered, yellow-bellied Attorney General Merrick Garland? That Merrick Garland? Yes, that Merrick Garland. Flavio also noting, Teixeira, a question that hasn't been answered yet, how the fuck does a guy with an itty-bitty stripe get access to that much classified info? Well, he had a top-secret clearance because of his job doing network anti-intrusion defenses. You have to be able to see the systems that you're working on in order to protect them. Then it turns out that the calls are coming from inside the house. I mean, that's the best thing. Scott notes, Marginal Trailer Queen called him Jake. I thought his name is Jack. And, in fact, based on the FBI interviews, people on the Discord server said, yeah, he went by Jack, appeared to live in Massachusetts, said he was a member of the Air National Guard. One member of the Discord server said he'd also chatted with him on video, and that he was a white male who was clean-cut in appearance between 20 and 30 years old. Look, you don't do well when you rely on Marginal Trailer Queen for accuracy. And our pal Cynthia in the Bay Area sent along a graphic for me. Anti-LGBTQ plus legislative spreadsheet and map. Cynthia says, have you seen this spreadsheet? Someone put a lot of good work into compiling it, and it's also horrifying. Well, at the very least, I can see from the map a whole bunch of states that I don't dare set foot in. And that's criminal, because, you know, I'd very much like to go back to Zion and visit a bunch of parks in Utah. Now I don't think I should. Just doesn't look advisable. And Cynthia, I know some trans folks who live in Utah, and some have even told me that it's hard to get their cis family members to comprehend how much risk there is with, you know, people, oh, you're overreacting, nothing's going to happen. Alabama is a worst risk level. Alaska is a moderate risk level. Arizona, Aaron Reed, who is the principal researcher on for this stuff like this, says fairly low risk level. Worst risks in Arkansas. Colorado is deemed safest. Florida, blood red, worst, 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 worst. Bill after bill after bill. Hawaii, safest. High awfulness factor for Idaho. Illinois, safest. High risk in Talibandiana. Bill after bill after bill. The same for Iowegia. Bill after bill after bill, just attacking. Moderate risk in Kansas. High risk in Kentucky and getting worse. Low risk in Maine. Low risk in Minnesota. Mississippi, of course, worst risk state. Missouri, a high risk state and getting worse. Montana, high-risk state, and getting worse. Nebraska, high-risk state. Nevada, low-risk. Moderate risk in New Hampshire. Low-risk in New Jersey. Moderate risk in North Carolina. High-risk in North Dakota. Again, bill after bill after bill after bill. Worst in Oklahoma. High risk in Ohio. Oklahoma is just pages and pages of bills. Oregon marked safest, even though Oregon is still not officially a refuge state. High risk in South Carolina for things like their version of Don't Say Gay and the forced outing of students. This is kind of what we were talking about last week when I was mentioning the fact that it's always been a dream of mine to drive across country. I don't think I can do that now. Because there's no way for me to leave here and not go through a high-risk state. High risk in South Dakota, worst risk in Tennessee. Bill after bill after bill after bill. Again, same in Texas. God, it goes on forever. Utah, worst. Birth certificate modifications have been banned in Utah. Vermont, reasonably safe. Virginia, at high risk. Washington, among the safest. High risk in West Virginia. Relatively low risk in Wisconsin. High risk in Wyoming. Thanks, Cynthia, for sending that along. Really do appreciate it. And if you were to take this graphic and color it accordingly, you see you see an almost, it's like self-secession. Randy Radar says, if your passport is good, you can go through Canada. God, I get, well, yeah, I go through Pennsylvania, New York, get into Canada that way, loop all the way across Canada. And talk about the Great Circle route. That's the Northwest Passage. And, of course, I still need to get my passport fixed. Flavio pointing out that Michigan and Minnesota are refuge states. Both Governors Tim Walz and Gretchen Whitmer declared it. Flavio, going back to Jack Teixeira, I guess what I'm driving at is the background check must have been really shitty. Not necessarily, Flavio. The background check could have just been, it could have been just fine as frog's hair. And he got radicalized afterward. You'd be surprised how quickly one can be radicalized by the Nazis and the Oath Keepers and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff and the Proud Boys and the Free Percenters and yeah. It can be like flipping a switch. U.S. is anti-warly, asks. How about reducing our military spending to double the next largest nation's military expenditure? We can't do that. Oh, shame on you, Lee. Too many places not welcoming to you, Robin, even in the outskirts.
Oh.
You're awful. You're just awful. You understand? You know that? You are. So we've made it into the second hour of the program. We're kind of stuck at $100 to meet the tripling challenge that's out there. It would be great if we could. I'd really love it if we could. The 10 people at 10 bucks, and that turns $150 into $450 and gets us down in the $1,100 neighborhood. What did I say? 1565. 1115. That would get us, if we can raise another $100, that would get us down to 1115. And I cannot tell you how necessary it is. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I hate talking about it, but oh well. Let's go ahead and go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves and gather together around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. And a reminder, I have changed my Skype address. It is now Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Robin, Kincaid Horn, one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D, H-O-R-N. And send me a friend request if you'd like to interact with me there on Skype, because I don't see me, going back and using the Bob account very much. And I wanted to, wow, we're a little snarky in the chat room this evening, aren't we? In the front porch chat. You retired slouch. Damn, Skeeve. Soup. I saw a story that kind of, I mean, it fascinates me. I don't... A computer genius... entrepreneur was murdered recently in San Francisco. Stabbed to death. He had been the founder of Cash App. By the way, we use Cash App. He'd been the founder of Cash App and a former executive with Square. His name was Bob Lee. And in the wee small hours of the morning, someone stabbed him to death. At the time, Bob Lee, was an executive at the cryptocurrency firm MobileCoin. Like I said, it happened in the wee small hours of April the 4th in a neighborhood in San Francisco. Help me with this, Matt, if I mispronounce it. Rincon Hillon. Died from apparent stab wounds. Well, there's been an arrest. London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco, said that the murder of Bob Lee was a horrible tragedy. And the SFPD has taken into custody a suspect named Nima Momeni, a 38-year-old guy who appears to be the owner of a company out of Emeryville, California, called Expand IT. Nothing as to motive or anything like that, but it wasn't some random mugging. I'd be interested to hear the details on that. And Tim Scott is still trying to be presidential. Now he says he would sign the most conservative pro-life legislation into law if he became president. You know, Tim Scott becoming president of the United States would be as, you know, the second black president, you know, and he would be to Barack Obama what Fappy Thomas is to the legacy of Thurgood Marshall. Tim Scott gave an interview to NBC News Friday today. The people have decided that their elected leaders have the opportunity to do so, so I say absolutely, as the culture of life is being protected, we should celebrate that. States will have different varying views on that. But yes, if I were president of the United States, I would literally sign the most conservative pro-life legislation that they can get through Congress. So then they asked him hard questions like, what should the cutoff time be? Well, I'm not going to talk about 6 or 5 or 7 or 10. I'm just saying that whatever the most conservative legislation is that can come through Congress, I'll sign it. Jesus Christ. Republicans still haven't figured out, because, see, in a primary situation, they have to play to the weirdo base. The fetus fetish base. So he has to keep talking abortion to keep the base engaged. But at the same time, some Republicans have learned, Tony Gonzalez of Texas, Y'all women's need to stop talking about all that abortions. They don't matter that much. We got a crisis at the southern border. They know what they've done. They know that most Americans hate them for what they've done. They know that it cost them a significant majority in the House midterm elections, instead of coming up with a narrow and terrifying one for the weaker speaker. The Hill's reporting on Tim Scott said, Republicans up and down the ballot have grappled with how to message on abortion after Democrats successfully zeroed in on the issue in the lead-up to last year's midterm elections following the overturning of Roe v. Wade in June. Republican National Committee Chairwoman Romney McDaniel, I always add the Romney in there. They just put, say, Ronna McDaniel in the hopes that some people will forget that. No, Ronna Romney McDaniel, niece of Bishop Willard, has called on Republicans to put Democrats on the defense on the issue by labeling them as extreme on abortion. Yeah, because having people who can become pregnant not be second-class citizens in the United States, that's extreme. Bullshit. So, fuck Tim Scott. And just because the maggots can never stop whining, they've always got to have something to piss and moan about, the Hannity job is now upset. Because in modern automobiles, especially electric ones, the car manufacturers aren't including AM radio. And the Hannity job and that guy with the voice made for print, Mark Levin, they're both having on-air babies, claiming that, in Levin's case, not putting AM radios in cars is an attack, and it's politically motivated. It's not, but the fact of the matter is, there's a reason for not having AM radios in electric cars. Hey Matt, does your EV have AM radio? Because the only reason that I'm an old radio nerd, and the only reason to go to the AM band as if you want to hear some shrieking preacher, Spanish language broadcasting, or right wing, you know, insurrectionists. But the fact of the matter is, in an electric car, the AM band can cause an annoying buzzing noise and signals fade in and out. Last Friday, Levin said, let's talk about radios for a minute. Ford is the latest manufacturer that says the future production of cars will not include the AM platform. BMW said it. Mark Levin, you dipshit. Your listeners don't drive BMWs, honey. They drive rusted out 89 Chevy Caprices that still have their George H.W. Bush campaign stickers on them.
Others have said it because it interferes with something or other. They finally figured out how to attack conservative talk radio.
Then the Hannity job jumped in and said, it's incomprehensible to me. It's not complicated to put a radio system that allows you to have AM, FM, Sirius XM, or the ability to plug in your own music from your own phone. This would be a direct hit politically on conservative talk radio in particular, which is what most people go to AM radio to listen to. So is there a political component to it? Certainly feels like it.
Oh, wait, what happened to fuck your feelings? What happened to facts over feelings? Oh, look, they have feelings now. They're so delicate and so dainty and so tender and fragile.
Yeah, Randy Radar says, that's just what's needed. Dead rush on four stations. See the movie The Brainwashing of My Father. Oh, I'm familiar with it.
So, well, that's a lot. That's a little extra filler, officer. Let's run over to the old holler tree and see who's gathered around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. By the way, if you've never participated, I would love to have you participate. I'd love to have more voices on the front porch. More girls' voices would be nice, even though sometimes my voice is not very girly. I'm working on it. Work in progress. More women's voices. Hey, Sparky, how are you? How's the garden?
It's planted.
Yeah, yay. What all's in it?
Now it has to grow.
What all did you plant?
3 tomato plants and 2 zucchini plants.
Well, that means in a few months you'll have 10,000 zucchinis.
Well, I'll just end up giving them away then.
Well, that's what happens around here. Zucchini harvest comes in and people are, hey, you want some zucchini? I'm like, no, that's fine. No. I've received zucchini from many people. I don't need any more. I like zucchini.
Well, I like it when it's small. I don't like to let it get big.
Yeah, because then it gets woody. So just three tomato plants?
Yeah, that'll give me more tomatoes than I can handle.
Yeah, feast or famine.
If all goes well.
But I know you're looking forward to that first one on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's just a family tradition. You know, my dad always told me if you get the garden in by the 15th of April, you'll have tomatoes on the 4th of July.
That'll be beautiful. Oh, I have an update on
the... Before you passed away in July of 2014, he had a tomato. And you should have seen the smile on his face.
Oh, that's beautiful. Go ahead.
You know that security clearance stuff? I remember when I had to fill out the paperwork for my security clearance. They told me, OSI, which is the Air Force Intelligence Service, would investigate me. So I better tell everything about myself because they're going to interview friends of mine. They'll find out everything. So I admitted to smoking marijuana.
That was about all you had, wasn't it?
Yeah, at the time, after I got out, I was not a bad boy. I used to party a lot.
But at that point, that didn't matter.
No. All I did when I was in the Air Force was drink beer. Till I got to Thailand. And then, of course, I had to try the pot because everybody was
Thai stick, right?
Right.
Did it live up to the billing?
Oh, yes, it did. Do you need to ask?
Never had any. So, let me put it this way. How did Thai stick compare to the modern stuff?
Well, from what I always remember, it was just pretty much the same or better.
And why was it Thai stick?
because it came wrapped around a stick with this real fine string wrapped around it. And there was 22 sticks in a brick. We used to buy it by the brick for $3.50.
A brick?
A brick.
We got to get on. Somebody needs to get on that. Get on the whole time machine research.
And it was even cheaper if you went down to the package sales store and bought Papa Son a bottle of booze for like $1.50.
Any particular type of booze? Did he have a preference?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. All I know is he'd take booze. Because at the time in Thailand, there was no American cigarettes and there was no American booze in civilian world there. So they'd sell it on the black market and make a lot of money. Cigarettes were $1.70 a carton.
And of course, they were sold on base at a subsidized rate, right?
Yes.
Not so much subsidized as absolutely no taxes. On Guam, we were $2 a carton, but $1 when we were out at sea.
Speaking of out at sea, is your understanding, Roger, is your understanding the smoking lamp is lighted or the smoking lamp is lit?
Smoking lamp is lit. Or out throughout the ship. When we were fueling, the smoking lamp was out throughout the ship. And then we got through refueling, it would be the smoking lamp was lit in all appropriate spaces.
Well, I guess that changed from World War II to your era, because it was the word they used was lighted.
Well, all I know is what happened on the ship I was on.
What kind of vessel was it?
It was a 245-foot long cutter, Coast Guard cutter.
Well, I have big thanks to extend to our dear friend Herbert. Hey, Herbert, thank you so much. The tripling challenge has been met. Our fundraising is now down to $1,115, which means that we've actually started working on Tuesday's funding, and we've got $215 to go on that. Thank you, Herbert. Thank you so very much. And if we could actually have a community-made miracle and finish off the week, you know, at zero, I would breathe substantially easier. I want to go back to the murder in San Francisco for a second. Matt gave us a little bit more detail on that, subject line murder. Apparently, the stabber's sister may have been in some type of relationship with the Cash App founder. So it was possibly her brother taking out some kind of revenge for some potential wrong done to his sister. It's been all over the news since it happened. the right-wingers and Elon Musk flooded social media posts about how terrible the crime is in San Francisco and that you can't walk down the street without stepping in feces and the homeless folks are stabbing folks at will, blah, blah, blah. Since the arrest was announced, they've all grown very silent. I guess they did not like the narrative that you have to be careful to avoid tech bros. And, suddenly when it's one of their own, made all the homeless stabbers just kind of disappear, didn't it? And in answer to my question, Matt says, I have AM/FM on my Bolt, but the Tesla just has the big computer monitor that controls almost everything. I find it hilarious that these little assholes are crying that the platform that they controlled and owned and built the poisoning of America on, it may be fading away. Because, let's see, the amplitude modulation, I still remember that much, and AM is kilocycles, whereas FM is megahertz, which explains the higher quality in the FM broadcast, but it doesn't have the reach that like a 50,000 watt AM blowtorch has. Going back to TyStick, and thanks for the detail, Matt. I really appreciate it. I wonder if it was revenge, honor kind of thing. I check in with Brother Deacon Asa, who knows these things, and asked him, is Nima Momeni an Iranian name? And Asa said, yeah, sounds Iranian. I don't know, maybe an honor killing, or not an honor, it's the reverse of it, a revenge killing or something, who knows? We'll eventually find out. Clarence, subject line, TyStick. Three cheers for Thai Gun Chai. My two Thailand tours were fantastic. Thai Gun Chai? Is that TyStick? I don't know. I'll have to ask my pal Ging.
He called it Gun Cha.
Gun Cha. Okay.
I remember the saying, gun cha, chamai, which means give me pot.
Yeah.
My tie was very limited.
You knew the necessities. Hey, Scott.
Little AMFM technical talk, since you kind of jostled some what I thought were long dormant brain cells. I think from my FCC third class license test, AM, you can have anywhere from one to maybe seven or eight antennas to send the signal out. FM is one antenna. And the reason that there's less distance or less reach on an FM signal, and it's inhibited by like mountains and terrain and things like that, is FM is a line of sight, whereas AM is more like an umbrella in terms of the signal going out into the ether. So that comes up on a test. There you go.
And Lee also jumped in on that. It was not political. It was science. Don't try to explain science to Mark Levin and the Hannity job, for God's sakes.
Lord, no. They sit there and run their mouth for 3, 4, 5 hours a day, and they have no idea how it works. They think there's little gerbils in the transmitting equipment.
And they have no idea how it works.
Running their little hearts out to
I talk here, it goes out there.
50 kilowatts, and looking at some bored-looking engineer, and that's, oh, God, it's just a nightmare.
And the bored-looking engineer has a pack of Chesterfields that's half empty, one hanging off his lip.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those times, he's got in the pocket with the Chesterfields and his lighter, he's also got the plastic package of little tiny screwdrivers.
the hell did I
do? And a pocket protector and a slide rule. I don't know what they use. Maybe it's for antenna or transmitter adjustments or something. It's just an incredible world to have been in.
But Lee explains, Edwin Howard Armstrong, December 18th, 1890 to February 1st, 1954, was an American electrical engineer and inventor who developed FM frequency modulation radio and the super heterodyne receiver system.
Is that a super heterodyne in your pocket? Or
you're happy? You're just happy to see me? Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, that's yes. This is very super straight kind of radio. Because AM was noisy, Armstrong wanted to take Lee DeForest's radio and have an alternative that was quiet in an electrical storm. He created FM. FM radio is the best FM frequencies. As you go farther away from those frequencies, the ability to receive decreases. Between the old TV channels 6 and 7 was all of FM radio and more. That's why, after September 11, 2001, TV broadcasts were moved to other frequencies. First responders could use the old TV channel ranges. Because I wrote DeForest, obligatory Star Trek reference, Jackson DeForest Kelly, known to colleagues as D, was an American actor, screenwriter, poet, and singer. He was known for his roles in Westerns and as Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy of the USS Enterprise in the television and film series Star Trek. Lee, researcher in New York City. Thank you, Lee.
You know who hated Edwin Armstrong?
Who?
General David Sarnoff. Because with the invention of FM, it more or less made obsolete all of RCA's AM-only radios. And he didn't... And all of their transmitting equipment was AM, and they didn't want to go to the trouble and expense of, you know, another form of broadcasting. And that's one of the reasons Armstrong killed himself. He climbed a tower and jumped out of a window in his apartment because he was not, pardon me, he had challenged or had been challenged in a couple of court cases, I think instigated by Sarnoff or RCA or someone. And he was not doing well in the courts and got all despondent and stuff and took a header out of the hotel or apartment building high rise that he was living in. There's a set. If you ever look for the Ken Burns, I forget the title, but Ken Burns did it, and it's on Amazon Prime. The history of radio, more or less. If you put radio in Ken Burns, you should be able to find it.
I've never even heard of that one. I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, it tells all of that, all of the excitement in the early days of broadcasting.
And of course, when I was young, all the buzz was, and I'm sure you remember it too, Scott. Oh, AM stereo is going to be here day after tomorrow.
I'm still waiting.
Same. And then it was like, oh, wait till you hear FM quad.
And that came and went.
Yeah, and by that time, you know, I was de-seeding pot on my copy of Frampton Comes Alive while driving across the Tennessee River and rolling a number. And, oh, man, FM quad, Pink Floyd's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. That's here. Right. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be out of it. What with all of the changes in the business.
But that's everybody. That was the perfect answer. Anybody who's ever worked in radio, yeah, I would remember AM stereo. Yeah, I'm still waiting.
Yeah, well, I've only heard it once. It was back in the late '80s. One of the local Kansas City stations was apparently had bought the I think the Kahn, KAHN. Or Motorola, they were competing systems. That's why AM stereo never caught on. Because
no one could agree on a standard.
Bingo. The FCC didn't have, you know, sense enough to say it's going to be this one because this one is technically superior and easier on the consumer and we can make it quicker or something. And they never, but I heard it once, and I mean, you still got the static. But only out of two speakers.
Well, yeah, that's what I always said. Yeah, oh, twice the static. This is going to be freaking stereo separation on lightning bolts. And you can hear it travel across the car or across the room. Oh, that's going to be great.
Have you ever had be at a radio station working and have a tower hit by lightning?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I did. Scared the hell out of me because I was there by myself.
Well, I've told you about the night that actually the guys that I worked with were going to come up and prank me because I worked the 7 to midnight shift. And we're talking about just a teenager then. And they climbed up on the roof and they were going to try to scare the shit out of me. And then they noticed the smoke that was had begun to pour out of the old Gates board. And they're like, yeah. Ah, we're going to leave now.
Yeah, save that for next time.
And I called, there was one class one engineer, called him up. Yeah, Paul, board's on fire. Did you set it? No. Did you spray it with the fire extinguisher?
You set it.
Yeah.
What kind of station was this, Robert?
This is a gospel station. You got to remember, I was Satan's emissary to WBTG. According to the program director.
Did you play the Happy Goodman?
Goddamn right.
Pound for pound, the most talented gospel group in the known universe. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, watch out. Here
Vestal Goodman, pound for pound, the best.
I'm sorry.
There was a style to concert heads. You know, and you had to... Oh, God, I got to do the voice. Friday, April 14th, live. You remember? I remember one of my buddies coming to you live at the Barton Civic Center, Barton, Alabama. It's KISS. Want to rock and roll all night with special guests, the Happy Goodman family. There he is.
What was her husband's name? Vestal was the woman with the hair. And what was her husband's
name? The Happy Goodman family. I'm sorry, I'll be better in a minute. Oh, God, it's been a day, and I needed this. I learned a thing today, by the way.
Did you now?
Yeah. So, my car has one of those keyless entry systems, and you don't even have to take the fob? Really, Robin? You don't even have to take the fob out of your pocket. As long as you're proximate to the door, you just put your hand on the door, it unlocks, you open the door, and get in.
My God.
And if, for instance, you leave the keys in the car and you get out of the car to go into the Rippy Mart for a second, because we're trusting types here in West Virginia, well, it'll scare the shit out of you, because just as you walk past the car, it'll go, beep, beep! Like, hey, yeah. Dipshit!
I must not be qualified to be a driver in today's world, because I remember key rings where you had your car key. If you were lucky, you had a
key. Yeah, this has an ignition button. There's nowhere to... Actually, there is a place to put a key. But if you have to figure that out, you're already so far in trouble, you probably don't need to go anywhere anyway.
Call me old school, but I like one for the ignition, one for the trunk. Get in, click the lock, start her up, and
down
the road.
You Luddite.
You're stuck in the Wayback Machine, Scott.
Yeah.
So here's what happened.
Howard Goodman, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like an earl, but yeah, Howard.
Looks like an earl, not a duke.
I used to love the... I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, hey, Steve.
No, jump right in, Steve.
I remember I happened onto that show, and I always thought it was like a car accident. I couldn't help but watch, because that hair she had. And I always thought it was really creepy. They all sit there on that stage, clapping and singing, and...
And you do know there is a technical term for the hair, the kind of hair that Vestal Goodman had, right?
Helmet hair?
No.
What was it?
Her hair was done up to Jesus.
Oh, righteous hair.
Because when it was down, it probably hung to her ankles.
I was going to say that hair.
I mean, pulling it up to put it up like that was like it was like raising an anchor chain.
I always used to love to go on the YouTube channel and troll the people who put comments on there. And they talk about, they remember the, you know, the good old fashioned religion. And I thought, and I used to say, you mean like Gregorian chant?
Yeah. That's okay. But anyway, today was a day.
Robin, I had one of them too.
Well, I'll go through mine. So I keep my keys in the little clutch that I keep in my purse because I never have to get them out. But there was a need for the keys. My daughter-in-law and my son were going to pick up some of their friends, and they were going to go to Beckley because there was a brawl tonight, the tough man contest. And my son's ambition for longer than I can remember has been to be in one of those and go and get the living be Jesus beaten out of him. I hope that doesn't happen. I'd love for him to win. But anyway, so the car was running, and they were cleaning out the car, and somehow the keys got left on the driver's seat. Let me make clear that the car was unlocked. The car was unlocked. Well, they shut the doors because they were getting ready to leave. They shut the doors and went inside to do a couple of things. And when they came back out, the engine was still running, but the car was locked with the keys in it. I repeat, no one had locked the car. It locked itself. The long story short on this is that when my roadside assistance guy showed up to get back into the car, I said, is it supposed to lock it? He goes, no, it's not supposed to, but you'd be surprised how often it does. I get at least one of these a week. Car's too smart for its own good. And there was much Sturm und Drang. But as we speak, my son is off. I think it starts at 8. Doors open at 7, I don't know, whatever. And I'm worried sick. I'm worried sick. I don't care for, you know, okay, old school, you know, Ali Frazier, shit like what? That.
Is it like martial arts or?
No, this isn't MMA. This is just bare knuckle brawling, you know, no biting, no finger, no eye gouging. No headgear, mouthpiece.
Is there a prize?
Yeah. $1,000 to whoever wins it.
Jesus.
I don't think that, but. And at one point he was so flustered, he looked at me and he said, this is all your fault. And I'm like, how the hell is it my fault? He said, you didn't want me to do this. You wished this on me. I'm like, I wish I had that kind of power, because believe me, I would not have wasted it on a tough man contest.
You had to be down the list a bit, wouldn't it?
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy, or was acquainted with a guy that was, he had doing MMA, like on his bucket list or something. He's younger guy, you know, and he's not dead or anything, but he had to train for a while, you know, I mean, quite a while. It might have been like a year or something for that, you know? And so I'm figuring what Ferg's just kind of showing up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I give him style points for the amount of confidence he has.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, but he's watched some of these before.
Oh, God, Jack, he's
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So you can gauge, you know, at least kind of the level of skill or the level of physical development or whatever of the other, of the opponents, I guess, at least, you know, sort of.
Well, I mean, I can't help it. I'm a parent. And I come from a certain age. And the minute he said he was going to get in the ring, and there's no headgear or anything.
Right.
It's not even amateur boxing. It's just brawling.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind was Kim Duk Ko. You remember Kim Duk Ko?
No, I don't think so.
1982, Ray Boom Boom Mancini literally beat him to death in the ring.
Hmm. I remember Mancini's name, but I don't remember that incident, you know. But it's like two opponents at a time, or is it like multiple people?
No, it's just two people at a time in the ring.
Single elimination.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have seen something on TV where you know, it's, you know, a certain level of skill or something, but it's like, but it was, you know, like single elimination tournament. And so the people that win are going basically almost back to, you know, maybe later in the night or whatever, but they don't have a day to rest in between, you know, you're just going and you get beat on each round, you know? So I guess that's what they're doing at Berg's thing. I'd be concerned as well.
Okay. So I'm not just being an overly protective parent.
No, I don't think so.
Well, according to the Facebook post, it's called the Tough Man Contest.
Yes, yes.
And it's being held at the Beckley Convention Center this Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. You can buy tickets. Good seats are available. And then there is a pay-per-view. So if you want to watch it at home, you do have the ability to watch it at home if you want to pay for it.
Oh. Which I think I sincerely do not want to do.
No.
I couldn't be in the audience. I can't watch somebody gratuitously beat the hell out of my boy. I'm so stinking sad over this. It's not even funny.
Well, this is something new to me. I mean, I've heard of martial arts.
No, there's nothing new about this. This has been around for eons, and it's a, you know, the people who promote it. You have to pay to fight. And they charge, you know, $40-$50 for the tickets.
Yeah, but whose idea was it that this is entertainment?
It's been around for decades. And it speaks to, and I'm just going to say it, it speaks to toxic masculinity.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
And you'll have guys who you know, brawl in bars, and the and it's a tough man contest. It's just
so I found some
so gross.
I found some video when I Googled. I haven't watched it yet, but there is video from past contests.
Yeah, it's nasty. It's bloody. People routinely get knocked unconscious.
Wow.
And his mother and I are just sitting here. I mean, I'm on air, but I'm sitting, you know, part of my mind is somewhere else, worrying about, because he will always, you know, he's 27 years old. He's still my little boy.
Yeah. Now you can, there's something called a ring girl. And if you click on that, there's pictures of various ladies. I don't know if they were.
Oh, maybe I need to sign up to be one of the. No, I don't think so.
They just got pictures of
They'd throw apple. Things.
Yeah. Yeah.
This harkens back to the Romans. That's how far this goes back.
Yeah.
This is without the killing of the lions and stuff like that. It goes back centuries, decades, more.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, I hope I'm not. This just runs contrary to every last one of my values. You know, violence, you know, the violence is inherent, I think, in the human experience, but it's not something you engage in. Oh well, I'm about to say something really dumb. It's not something you engage in for fun. When most of our entertainment is some sort of either simulated or ritualized violence, you know, football. But that's my little. But I did cue something up just to give us a giggle. This was, I think, the Happy Goodman's greatest hit. When she hits that first note, it's like dental work. Wow, I just lost everybody.
No, I'm still here. You know, on some
did,
of
it,
these
did it hurt that bad, Jack?
What? I'm on the videos I'm looking at, some of the people have headgear. They've all got boxing gloves.
Yeah, and then, it's not bare-knuckled.
Okay, and it looks like some of them have, you know, like these kind of belts with, like, crotch protectors and maybe, like, kidney.
Yeah, he told me they've got that.
Yeah, like, maybe they go around for the kidneys and as well, and everybody has shoes on. So maybe it's up to the contestants or something to do headgear or not. You know, I haven't seen anywhere, you know, one has headgear and the other doesn't, you know, but, you know, I can't tell, but, you know, so there's some protection, I guess. You know, you know, I guess you could still get your, at least you don't get your ears boxed, you know, if you wear the headgear, you know. But you could get your nose or eyes done. And I guess you got a mouthpiece. So, you know. I was kind of thinking bare knuckles, you know, when you first were talking about it, but, you know, still though, you know.
And now it's equal opportunity, so women can get in the ring and beat the living shit out of each other.
Yep, I saw a video of that. Yeah, I saw some women in there. I just watched, you know, a few seconds, you know. Of, you know, here and there of about a 4-minute clip. And I just watched a few seconds here and there, but and there's a ref, you know, so, you know, at least somebody's supervising, but I don't know, you know, I guess you depend on the ref to you know, that advocate for anybody's, you know, health, you know, if it gets, you know, if you can't defend yourself or whatever.
Wasn't, like, Tonya Harding into some sort of
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, yeah.
There's a name from the past.
But she was into baseball bats and knees.
After that, Roger, after that.
No, I mean her professional work. Jesus.
Anyhow, Robin, I did notice a place for you in this contest, and that is whether or not you've got your latest Victoria's Secret bikini. You could be the holding up the one,
the ring pal. Yeah, the ring girl. I'm thinking they would throw things at me.
Well, I just, you know, thought that that'd be a place where you probably, you know, I guess if they threw things at you, you might get hit, but you could participate without getting knocked out, you know.
Yeah, I think I'll just avoid it altogether.
Well, it's not something I'd spend money. I don't even know what the tickets were selling for, but I didn't check on buying a ticket.
Near $50 a piece.
And that's for to watch or to participate?
To watch.
I'd rather spend $50 on the beer I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of those, I put in quotes, sports or entertainment options that is not available in all places. I'll bet you there are states in the union where this sort of thing is not sanctioned or allowed, or, you know, it would surprise me if it were a coast-to-coast thing, because...
Well, the video I watched was clearly they do it by weight classes, and one of the bouts I saw was clearly two very out-of-shape, heavily overweight men were trying to pummel each other.
I ascertained that as well, but I didn't mention it before. Yeah, it looked like it was by weight class, definitely.
Yeah, it is. It is weight class 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to a point where you. I mean, it's not like I can tell him no. And I'm just sitting here worried sick that, you know, I hope he doesn't. You know. And there was nothing I could say to him because I can't talk to him like that, about that anymore.
Mm.
But by the way, we are coming up on the third hour of the program. We are $1,115 away from being done for the week. Frankly, every penny of that will go into bills if we can raise it, because beyond the regular bills of the month, I've got to deal with, like I said, new bearings, new brakes, new tires on the car.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to suck a lot. And I figure that's probably $1,000 all by itself. So anybody that wants to help out, and thanks to everybody who responded to our 3-for-1 challenge, because that knocked down a big chunk of it. Other stuff banging around out there. If you were listening to the program, yesterday's program, either live or podcast, and if you're listening to the podcast, please like and subscribe and leave a comment and. Over on TuneIn, press that little, if you're listening that way, press that little heart. We're looking for 1,000 unique individual listeners via TuneIn. That'd be really cool. Yesterday we had the stupid clip from the stupid person, Candy Owens. Candy O. Who decided that she is just the woman to, and I also came to the conclusion that Candy Owens is probably just Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Ben Dry Wife Shapiro in blackface drag. But she's come to the she's decided she is the arbiter of who is and isn't a lesbian. And lo and behold, the next day, I see an article from the LA Times. There's a musician, Lil Nas X, who had a hit with Old Town Road. And now someone, an internet celebrity named Whoa Vicky, has decided that she is qualified to declare what Lil Nas X's sexuality is. I mean, I'm kind of used to it at this point, that I'm used to the transphobia. It seems kind of weird to me that now people are deciding who isn't sufficiently gay. Whoa, Vicky was on a podcast called We in Miami, at which point Whoa, Vicky said that Lil Nas X has been pretending to be gay to get more famous. Because, you know, there's nothing to make you famous like being gay or trans. I mean, just it opens up the whole world for you, right? I mean, that's why Bud Light's coming out with a commemorative series of cans with, you know, me on it. No, they're not. I can't even get Grapeco to come out with a series of commemorative cans with me on it. I ain't gonna drink no more Diet Grapeco.
I saw a new meme this week, Robin. What's the unforgettable swimmer who tied for fifth place name again?
Oh, Riley Gaines?
Yes. There's a meme going around which is used to trigger, but it's not working. Basically, it says, in a world full of Dylan Mulvaney's, be a Riley Gaines. So they're willingly saying, isn't this the whole crowd that's in a, not first place, you're last?
Yeah, I think that.
There's no more trophies in first
place.
Yeah,
in a
get a trophy and shit like that.
Yeah, in a world full of people who are living their lives authentically, be a pissant who complains about tying for fifth with a trans woman.
And this should beat you up. Jesus.
It was funny, however, because when this person, Whoa, Vicky. Her real name is Victoria Rose Waldrip, by the way. I think I'd call myself Whoa Vicky if my last name was Waldrip, too. It sounds like something that happens with mildew. When the word got back to Lil Nas X, he says, who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this? Oh, my God. He demoted Whoa Vicky to Ja Rule. Oh, God, that was good.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, please, Steve. Don't get sideways with Candy O or Whoa Vicky, because they'll say you're not really gay.
Okay, great. Well, my partner would beg to differ, but anyway. I have to tell you, I kind of like this. I mean, this is progress. That actually, it helps you, particularly in the hip-hop realm, to claim you're gay.
Well, Lil Nas X is kind of
country.
Yeah.
No, I get it, but you understand what I'm saying.
Is that hip country or country hop or
country hop or hip hop, y'all? I'm sorry. The notion of faking gay is a positive thing. I'm sorry. I take that as a good thing. I take that as progress. I mean, great if he's – you know what? Do these people have nothing to worry about? No, I mean, really?
It's not that they have nothing to worry about. They have nothing to do because, of course, apparently Whoa Vicky is a God botherer. Whoa Vicky says Lil Nas X and Lil Uzi Vert both need Jesus. And they done sold their soul.
See, let me tell you what stinks, Robin, is what we have learned is that while these people have been around for a long time doing what they're doing, and while our inclination may be able to just ignore them and caricature them, what we need to realize is that ignoring them, which we have done to our detriment, has got us to the place where we are now, where people like that are actually mainstreamed and have followers and are able to get people's ire up to actually do physical harm.
Yeah. But on top of this, though, I mean, I'm not particularly familiar with Lil Nas X's music. You know, I hope they're happy.
But
he's got a new song called Sun Goes Down, and the song is about the problems he had growing up in the closet. And lo and behold, get this. I kind of went, huh. That song, Sun Goes Down, is the number one song on iTunes in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
That's surprising to me. I know I've never told you this. I knew this guy. I met him at my church. Wow, this was a while ago. Years ago. He's gay. At least I think he was, and he's Catholic. And I think he was Filipino. He worked in Saudi Arabia, and he worked for like one of the big Prince yada 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 humana 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 bin humana 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 bin humana humana humana. And we got talking about, he's like, the whole fucking royal family is gay.
What?
Well, look, any culture is repressive as the most puissant, royal, noble, serene, gracious, high, majestic house of Ibn Saud. That kind of hyper-masculinity is always the big, flashing, pink siren. I mean...
Yep.
Look. Don't get me wrong. This is not a homophobic comment on my part, and I hope no one takes it as such. But I remember watching Nitwit Nero do that stylized sword dance with a bunch of Saudi dudes wearing dresses and thinking, well, all they need's a disco ball.
Mm-hmm. And then remember they were all touching that one big ball.
Oh, it was the orb. It was the orb.
I've seen those in the front yards all over San Diego.
Yeah.
Some of them are iridescent blue and some of them are red. I think water comes out of them for the birds or the lawn or something.
I don't know if I, again, boy, this really dates, I'm really remembering some things when I lived in D.C. I knew these two guys. Where did I meet them? I mean, this is like back in the late 90s. I met them. I don't know where the hell I met them. We were out somewhere in DuPont Circle, and I remember one of the guys was actually named Riyadh. They were both from Kuwait, I believe.
Isn't that kind of like naming your kid Dubuque?
Yep. Oh, I know.
Sorry.
I know. The other guy was this tall, thin, gorgeous to the point of pretty.
His name was Yonkers. No, sorry.
No. Oh, Jesus. Wow. Sorry, but that's funny.
I know. Look, it is.
Charleston. And I remember them telling me, I think it was one of the, I mean, this guy was, he was effeminate. Which I don't, to me, that I don't, I'm not saying that as a criticism, understand. I'm just saying that because he was. But I don't remember if it was him or somebody told me, was you weren't gay if you were the top, which is what a lot of those hyper religious people, particularly in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, would justify having sex with men. They're not the top. Look, this all comes down to masculine, you know, the what's masculine versus what's feminine. That's really I'm trying to think. Who was the? There was a sociologist.
Well, you know, I mean, I was in the Kohl's the other day, and I was going through the sections, and lo and behold, I saw a section that said bottoms, so I just hung out.
You know, Robin, I love you more than my luggage, but
no, that one didn't work.
That's not quite Gunnar worthy, but it gets awfully close.
Flirting.
Well, I'm still looking for a clarification from Steve. Now, the Humana 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 tribe, is that like the House of Cramden, or what's the deal?
House of Cramden? Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's... Oh, you go to blazes, Scott.
Oh, I'm headed that way.
Man, y'all are losing me.
Hey, Jack, thanks a bunch for jumping in, buddy. Thank you so much. You got us down to $1,075. No. $1,085. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Hey, I don't know if I told you this or I mentioned this in an email or a text or something. I was listening to one of my programs out of London today, and guess what? The Conservative government is introducing I don't know. I think it's only in England right now. It's not in Wales, Northern Ireland, or Scotland for their election on May 4th. You guessed it. Photo ID.
Huh.
And the guy was on the program. He's like, what's the purpose of this? I mean, I knew. And he's like, and it's a little bit different over there how they do polling at their polling places. And he's lamenting about what is the reason that they're doing this, blah, 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 blah. And a number of people called in and said, you know, look to the GOP. And you know as well as I do, it's to me, it's less about requiring. It's less about why are they doing this law than it is about it's not a problem. That's like saying, you know, people are not stopping at stop signs that are only on the right side of the street, so we need to put them on the left. It's not a problem. There's no reason for it.
No, it's a solution. It's a solution in search of a problem.
Yes. And they were talking about certain types of IDs being legit, the same ID being the same type of ID being usable for some groups and not for others. Every time I hear this shit, you know, and I love the guy that I listen to. I love to listen to him. And sometimes I actually called London once. I want to call up and say, man, I love you more than my luggage, but listen, and I say this to people that I email with or message with in the UK, when shit like this comes up, you want to see why they're doing this? We've done it here. Don't make the same mistakes we've made. We've already made these mistakes.
But these aren't – I don't think they're mistakes. It's more like there's a global
– Oh, no. But when a person says, why are they doing this, I just want to say, look here.
Oh, yeah.
Look what we did here, because it's the same thing. And you know what? I guarantee you, Steve Bannon is – I mean, he was advising Bolsonaro. I guarantee you
– Well, he bought a castle in Italy to try to help restore fascism in Europe, and he was, I guess, to a certain extent successful because Italy now has a fascist government. Mm-hmm. And that's not me name-calling.
Was it a castle or a monastery?
Potato, potato, but okay, monastery.
Yeah, well, that makes it more insidious because you bring.
Yeah, the other thing he was going to do is there is this cadre of crazy nut job right wing cardinals in the Vatican who are trying to undermine Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bannon. What the hell was the guy's name? Cardinal Burke. That's the guy's name. You want to see a closet case, go look up Cardinal Burke and see what he wears. But, you know, and I, as an aside, not to get into church shit, these are the same people that during John Paul II's decidedly conservative pontificate, all us quote-unquote liberals would every time we would say something, these are the people telling us that we had no right, we shouldn't be questioning the Pope. And I'm like, oh, funny how that shoe's on the other foot now. But no, I mean, Bannon has been, I mean, Bolsonaro, all this shit.
Well, yeah, he was over in Europe, you know, making his propaganda organizations or his, you know, streaming or radio shows or whatever the hell it was. He was over there, you know, years ago.
I mean, there's a reason there's a reason that these conservative governments around wherever are doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Bolsonaro, same shit.
And Australia is another place to look for.
Although Australia had a really big election in New South Wales the other day, and the Labor Party beat a traditionally liberal seat. Liberal, by the way, is like the conservatives.
Classical liberal, yeah.
Or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Labor beat them.
I hadn't been on Twitter for a while, so I hadn't been seeing Australian news.
I stopped Twitter. You know why I stopped? I don't know if you heard this, Robin. Twitter, NPR stopped.
Yes, I did.
Because fuckwad cockknocker declared NPR a state. What was it?
State sponsored media.
Yeah, and they said, okay, fine, we're off. And I'm like, okay, so why is the BBC on there? And frankly, the BBC is state-sponsored media, but we all know the reason he's did that. I think, and I think you were talking about this earlier, and I think I only heard half of what you said. That I think it looks like Twitter's not long for this world.
You know, and I'm not going to if it goes down in flames, that's fine by me. I mean, it's been a sewer for years. The so-called shadow banning is real.
What does that actually mean? I don't know. I've heard the term. I don't know what it means.
That means that, you know, you haven't been ejected from the platform, but the algorithms just make sure that none of your shit gets seen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, back before it started happening, I used to, you know, I used to have a fair number of. Let's see. Let me just look at my account here. Let's see. I mean, it's not a big account, and I never tried to get the blue check mark, and I'm damn sure not going to do it now. I'm following 2,469 people, and 3,515 people are following me, and. It's, well, here, let me go and see. Let's just take an ordinary tweet. Okay, there's based on the conversation I had with Scott the other night, there's a picture of Larry Moe and Curly in drag. I've got 3,569 people following me, and 241 people saw it. That's it.
Wait, what did you say? 200 and
241.
Did what?
Viewed it.
Oh, well, okay.
So 1/10 of your followers.
Yeah.
Actually, less than.
Yeah. Something's awry there.
Well, something at some point. Everybody. I mean.
But just, since I am not since I'm not a little right wing pissant, I'm not crying about it.
Yeah. But at some point. People were saying, I'm not seeing the people that I, you know, used to followed, and we used to see each other all the time. You know, I'm just not seeing my peeps, you know, and I've noticed that too, you know.
And of course, Leon Scum, that's a great anagram for Elon Musk, Leon Scum. ordered that the algorithms be changed so that people like, you know, people, decent human beings, have to see right-wing filth on Twitter.
Oh.
Which puts me in the position of having to block the pieces of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like over on Instagram. Now here, let's just see. This is fun. Over on Instagram, I think I'm blocking like 3 dozen creepy dudes a day. And since I last went through and blocked, 11 skeevy dude accounts have followed me, and their bios say things like, And don't worry, this is not Audie Robbins' Creepy Sugar Daddy Hour. Now, I'm going to read this exactly as it is written. Here is BarryFred_BF. Barry Fred. And it's a bunch of pictures of an older salt and pepper haired kind of, you know, decent looking guy. It's obvious. They're obviously stolen photos. I'm a orthopedic surgeon doctor. I'm American, but I live in Ukraine, period. Lowercase MR, Barry Fred by name. Following me, I will follow you back. Thanksgiving? Question mark. Dot, 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 dot. And so we go over to block and block. And, well, after the program, I'll go and block more skeevy guys.
Does it give his employment situation?
Here's Brandon Wayne, 8019, zero posts, 949 followers, 4,023 following, private account. Brandon Wayne, am deaf and I love Jesus. A lot of these say God-fearing man. Just total creepiness. Here's Miguel Smath. He doesn't even have a description, but they're all the same kind of guy. He's not private, so I can look at who he's following. And it's all attractive women. He's using IG for his spank bank. Yuck. And so it's all, you know, whether it's Leon Scum or the dweeb who runs Twitter, or not Twitter, Facebook, that dweeb, it's all manipulated. And I feel so bad for kids who get on various social media because they're kind of honest and they don't realize the degree to which they are being manipulated. It's sad. I mean, I use Facebook and Instagram and Twitter primarily as a means of outreach related to this program. That's it. I'll post essays, photos, things like that. But it's not because I'm craving attention. It's because I'm trying to... Well, okay, maybe I'm craving attention. I'm trying to build... it's always been a matter of trying to draw more people toward the conversation. Because I love this conversation. I cherish it. But I don't know. I don't know if the same. I don't know if because you know, like the story about Whoa Vicky. You know, people get famous for being famous on social media, and that's how we got the Kardashians and Caitlyn Jenner, whose transition was apparently took place over the course of about 24 hours because she had plenty of money. And I just really need for her to shut up. You know, the envy that just comes off of her in waves like heat off a pavement. She was attacking Dylan Mulvaney the other day. And I worry about that poor girl, Dylan Mulvaney. Maybe she's making a ton of money. But just carrying the existential weight of all that hate. And she has made sure that she has no anonymity whatsoever. Gross. A couple other things. And by the way, we're almost down to the last 30 minutes of the program. We are at $1,085 to go. And I'm not kidding. This is some fairly grave stuff. If anybody wants to help out. Because I dread the idea of starting the program on Monday back in a $1,385 hole. And thanks to everybody who has jumped in. No, a little bit of political skullduggery. I love this. You remember back when? Remember back in the heady days of 2016 and the great purity wars of the left and the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol, Bernie or bust, or if Bernie's not the nominee, I'm going to vote for Jill fucking Stein. And the Republicans just rubbed their hands and clapped for glee. Well, now they've got a similar problem. It's not national. Well, it may eventually wind up being national, but in Montana, Stan, they've got a really important Senate race coming up in 2024. John Tester is the Democratic incumbent. He's not quite as awful as Joe to the Manchin Bourne, but he's a centrist. And so because they desperately want his seat, the Republican legislature in Montana has taken steps to try to alter how they do the primary in Montana in 2024 so that only the top two candidates go to the general election and third parties are basically left out in the cold. Because they're scared to death, the maggots are, that if there's a libertarian running, the libertarian might siphon votes away from whoever the maggot is and see John Tester reelected. Montana Libertarian Party Chairman Sid Daoud said, it will completely block us out. It's going to eliminate any third party or independent candidate from moving to the general election. And Montana is critical to maintaining the Senate majority. And, of course, we've talked about the fact that the Democrats have to defend 23 seats and the maggots only have to defend 10, and that those 10 seats are going to be almost impossible to win for the Democrats. So they can't even tolerate the pretense or pretext of something of a full, free and fair election. You know, Jill fucking Stein was on the ballot, but they're trying to eliminate that altogether. Thoughts?
I forgot what state it was. Who was it?
Montana.
And I forgot if Tester, it was R or conservative D.
Yeah, he's a centrist, middle of the road, kind of leans right Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I heard him, you know, say anything, and I couldn't remember for stuff I disagreed with.
He's eminently more likable than Joe the Manchin Bourne, yeah, who himself may run as a third party candidate for president in 2024. Although I don't know how he can do that and without giving up his Senate seat here.
Is Tester running for his second term, or will it be a third term?
Oh, I think it'll be his third at least.
Because see, he's been there a while, and to me, I mean, yeah, centrist is not your first choice, but as long as there's a D,
well, there's no Bernie in Montana. The fact that he's got a D behind his name is a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah.
Oh, and going back to the whole Lil Nas X things for a minute, Jessica jumped in. Country and hip-hop. Cowboy Troy, who performs with Big and Rich, does rap to country music and refers to it as, wait for it, hick-hop.
Oh, God.
Hick-hop.
Oh, on the country music?
Yeah.
I was going to mention this earlier, and I think I've mentioned it before a while back. back in the 70s, there was a gay country group called Lavender Country, and I think their album is on YouTube. So if anybody wants to hear what that sounded like, you can check it out. Lavender Country is the name of the, I think their first album was self-titled. And,
hey, Robin.
Yes.
Hey everybody.
Well, I had something for you, Steve, real quick. I got your message about chatting a week or so ago, but I have been under the weather, and we'll do it sometime soon.
Okay, works for me.
All righty.
Hey, I just can't remember where I heard stuff. Did you talk about, meaning Robin, this, what's that, no labels or some shit like that?
Yeah, that was me.
And
they're the ones who are talking about trying to run Joe Manchin.
Oh, Joe Manchin. Did you get the message? Again, I don't remember what I sent. Who's running that?
Yeah, Mark Penn, and yeah, I got that.
You remember who Mark Penn is?
Yes, very much so.
Does everybody here remember who Mark Penn is?
No.
Hillary Clinton's campaign manager in 2016.
Oh, jeez.
He didn't like the left word, the left word tilt of the Democrat Party.
You're getting to where you do that too well.
And what is he running, Steve?
He runs this group called
No Labels.
Isn't Lieberman up all on that plate? That
no, that was good. That was like third way or something. But these things pop up from time to time. They're just gross, and
you know what?
They're the worst kinds of corporate. It's like an incestuous relationship between corporate Democrats and old school corporate Republicans. And what it, as the I think it was it Steve Schmidt that was talking about it,
and said, "Oh yeah," and said, "He means no words." Whoa!
Yeah, bunch of fucking assholes who are, and he straight up called out No Labels and said, "Hey, this is a pro-Trump super PAC,"
which it is. It absolutely is.
And they'll run a no-labels candidate in swing states as a more conservative alternative to the wild-eyed liberalism of Joe Biden. Yeah, that wild-eyed liberalism just green-lighted ConocoPhillips drilling on the north slope of Alaska.
Look... You've said it, and I agree with you. Joe has been a lot better than I ever thought he would be, but he has laid some eggs, and that was an egg.
Yeah, and so was the Title IX Department of Education announcement.
Yep, and you know what else was a big egg? Forcing the railroad workers to not strike.
That sucked.
So...
Well, I need to send some thanks out. Thank you, Raymond. Raymond in L.A., thank you so much. Raymond just took us down to $1,060 to go. $1,060, let's see, another $160, and we will be fully funded through this past Tuesday. And this is a mad sprint. So thank you, Raymond, for helping out. Thank you so much. Much, very much, indeed. This could have been on prayer meeting Wednesday, but it arrived too late. A high school teacher in Virginia is threatening lawsuit. She is represented, of course, by that grifty tax-exempt dodge called Liberty Council. Sit, Liberty, sit. Woo! You remember that's the grift that represented Sister Clark Kim Davis and represented her right into jail on contempt of court. Well, Liberty Counsel's representing
this woman, this teacher, who says that she's a teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is a very wealthy Northern Virginia county. And she says that she's being persecuted because on her official Loudoun County Public School emails, work emails, she set up a signature line that says John 3:16 at the bottom of her emails. And the Loudoun County Public Schools said, "Hey, this is a public school's email account. We cannot proselytize any particular religions. Stop it." So now she's being persecuted.
And what the hell is that paragraph or whatever verse about? What does it mean?
Oh, John 3:16?
Yeah.
"For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Okay.
It's virtue signaling.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Liberty Council said, "We understand that Loudoun County Public Schools has new written policy governing email signature blocks, and the practice allows teachers to place in their signature block a variety of examples of private expression selected by and attributable to the teachers as individuals, including personally selected pronouns, quotations, pictures, or phrases. All of these are non-school-sponsored private expressions or speech. However, Loudoun County Public Schools has required Mrs. Butthurt to remove her non-school-sponsored private expression of her personal faith, a Bible verse, from her email signature block on the basis its inclusion is prohibited by the Establishment Clause." So what they're saying is, just, you know, somebody, say me, had their signature block as, oh, I don't know, for instance, let's say a normal person functioning well on the upper levels of a prosperous industrialized society can hardly hear his conscience at all, by Kurt Vonnegut. That's the same thing as proselytizing for your particular religion. Right. God, these people. Jesus, save us from your followers. By the way, a note from across the pond. Claire writes in, subject line, voter ID in the UK and other voter stuff. You started this, Steve. "I am, of course, voting on May 4th, and I'll be using my older person's bus pass, which also has given me free bus all over the town and out into the hills, plus 10% off all organic food in the best shop in the world. I do love Brighton and Hove." Sounds like a wonderful place, Brighton and Hove, Claire. "Other than the bus pass, there's a huge long list of IDs that can be used, so it remains to be seen if this first poll with photo IDs will make any difference to voter numbers. P.S. Voter turnout in the U.K.'s last general election in 2029 was 67.3%, which was lower than normal, and the highest voter turnout in the U.S. was 66.3%. America really does need to get their voting fingers out of their arses, y'all. Much love." I agree, Claire. The idea that, well, and those are the high numbers, Claire. You should see them for, my county's primary numbers. It was, you know, ridiculously, you know, 30%. About a 30% turnout in both parties. It stunk. Because, remember, it's a form of soft voter suppression to get people to believe the notion of there ain't a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Ralph Nader said it in 2000, and George Wallace said it in 1968, and Strom Thurmond said it in 1948. And so if you can just get people disgusted enough that they see no fundamental difference between Democrats and Republicans, when the differences could not be more stark if they were the yin and the yang symbol, they looked a lot, but they're totally different. Opposites, yeah.
But no, I agree, Claire, and thanks for the note. And good on Kamala Harris. She showed up today at the National Action Network 2023 convention in New York, where she said, correctly, extremists across our country attack the freedom to vote. They banned books to attempt to erase America's full history. They attack the ability of people to love openly with pride. They attack the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body instead of the government. They attack medication that for 20 years the FDA ruled as being safe. And this, of course, called Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to have a baby. They said, they attack people, the quoter, they attack the ability of people to love openly with pride. Harris lamented. I don't think she was lamenting. I don't know, maybe Candio would say that she was Roris. Jesus, that idiot. But she went on and took a direct shot, and anybody who said,
Kamala Harris, the Biden administration won't turn her loose, they won't let her out, they won't let her get out, bullshit.
She can bring the fire when it's time to bring the fire. She said, yesterday in Florida, extremists there signed a 6-week ban before most women even know they're pregnant. And then, isn't it interesting that in the midst of all these attacks on fundamental freedoms, these so-called leaders dare to tell us they're fighting for our freedoms? Don't you find it interesting? She's absolutely right. And Ron Monkey, so, yeah, they don't... They're taking their shots at Trump, and they're going to start taking their shots at DeSantis. And it's damn good that she is. And I think she will be a hell of a fighter down the stretch. I find it interesting that all of these leaks that Jack Teixeira put out into the, and apparently was this little racist gun humper whom Marginal Trailer Queen is now calling a hero. He was just doing it to show that he was a BSD and impress the little nerds in his Discord group. Ah, gross. But one of the things that he did let out was an assessment that the special forces of Mother Muscovy, the Spetsnaz, has been absolutely devastated by Putin's war on the innocent people of Ukraine. Spetsnaz does stealthy high-risk missions. They were the ones who were tasked with capturing Volodymyr Zelensky. They get the very best of Russian military training. And they got shoved. Well, some of the Spetsnaz leadership were like, yes, we are ready to go and invade Ukraine. And they marched in and got slaughtered. And apparently the intel that was released says that it will be years for Mother Muscovy to rebuild the Spetsnaz. Among other things, some of the 22nd and two other Spetsnaz brigades suffered something between 90 and 95% attrition. And so they've used up their expertise. Their expertise is pushing up sunflowers. One unit alone in Ukraine, the 346th, lost nearly the entire brigade with only 125 personnel active out of 900 deployed.
And according to the leaked documents, severe personnel and equipment losses could explain why there is no clear intel signature on their return, being the 25th Spetsnaz Regiment to garrison. Hope it doesn't hurt too little. And I'm just kind of bouncing around here, but this is interesting. I guess we all wondered during the four ugly years of the reign of Nitwit Nero. We wondered just how much grift and graft and corruption he was into and up to. According to Salon, the Trump Organization made as much as $160 million in international business deals while the Tangerine Tiberius was in the Oval Office. And Salon reported on it based on a report by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Crew, in its report, said, when it came to foreign conflicts of interest, Trump and his company pledged to pause foreign business. They did not. The full extent to which Trump's foreign business ties influenced his decision-making as president may never be known, but there's plenty of evidence that Trump's actions in the White House were influenced, if not guided, by his financial interests subverting the national interest for his own parochial concerns. Asked for comment, Nitwit Nero said, parochial? I'm not even Catholic. I added that part. Wow, tough crowd. Jude in the Great Northwest said, sounds like this school district, in dealing with that Bible verse on her official school site, would be wise to connect with Mikey Weinstein as he reaches well beyond the military needs. The Establishment Clause is the ground of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation's focus, and I know from personal experience Mikey reaches out and resolves such issues with regard to many diverse situations. He's my brother, trustworthy, focused, and deeply respectful to those in need. Well, send the story. I mean, just look it up. Maybe send the story along to him. Thanks, Jude. Jude added earlier, all the external communication platform houses the potential to keep us distant from the necessary part of ourselves. I find it the human component of engaging through voice dialogue that leaves one sensing they are truly heard and absorbed by another, and on a one-to-one basis, a personal deep satisfaction arrives. Be well, Jude. Jude, thank you. Thank you so much.
I have a question, though.
Yes?
The extent of his own personal wealth-making and, you know, taking advantage of the system while the getting's good, so to speak, may never be known. I mean, if they were personal interests that he had doing business with the government, you know how the government is with keeping records, even in a Trump administration, that impact or effect of his, quote, leadership, in big old air quotes, doesn't always trickle down to, you know, the nuts and bolts areas of government. So certainly there's a record of a lot of shit that went on, because there's always people in the government who, no matter what the leader says, they're going to do the job. They're going to be sticklers when it comes to, you know, keeping good records so that they can CYA.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly at some point, a lot of this is going to be known. But by the time it's known, it'll be too late to do anything about it. But hopefully it will be known. Is where I was going with this.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Well, the legal system can't jump into action any quicker for my money. I'm hoping against hope that he'll be, you know, too preoccupied or overwhelmed. And you know he's going to run or try to run or something, but God damn, I've been there, done that. I don't want to see the sequel or the Son of movie. Trump, the ugly ultimate end.
There's a new grift out there on the right, an outfit that calls itself Consumers Research.
Consumers or conservers?
Consumers. Are begging people to sign up for its shitty service, and they're going to send out woke alerts. We're launching woke alerts to help consumers make better informed decisions about where to spend their money.
Well, I can save them the time and trouble.
They're buying a six-figure ad campaign. And they've already got several brands on woke alert, Bud Light, because they're Bud Light butthurt.
And are there stickers? Do you get stickers? Do you get a...
There may be balloons, hot dogs and balloons for the kids. I don't know.
I just, because if they're going to ask you for money, you want to get something back.
Right.
It can't be some tin penny whistle or something like that. It's got to be something of substance. And even Trump gave out hats, or he didn't give them out, but he sold them. Shitty Chinese hats.
Shitty Chinese hats.
But you get what I mean.
One thought that's come to my mind is that the judges are getting fed up with his delay tactics. And he asked, I forget which case it was, but he asked for a delay because of something else. And the judge came back and said, no, fuck you.
Yeah, that was the E. Jean Carroll case that's supposed to start this month. I need a 4-week delay. No way can I get a fair jury after my historic indictment and arrest.
Yeah, and the judge said, screw you.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping
here's
more
a rope.
Judges
piss up it.
Come up with that screw you bullshit. And I hope that these trials are very open to the other prosecutors, because I do not see any way for him not to fuck up on some of his testimony in one case where he's under oath. He'll say something that crucifies him.
Well, when he was, I guess it was what, yesterday when he was in New York for his deposition by the New York Attorney General, and New Yorkers
for
came
eight
out.
Hours.
Yeah, and New York, hours. Right, and New Yorkers came out to greet him with.
New York hates you.
New York hates you. New York hates you.
How long is it going to be before? We all got to see his. He takes the fifth. Blah blah blah. Continuously every time. The video of that deposition. How long is it going to be before we see the videos of this deposition?
I think in order to release it, it has to be released. It has to be made releasable by the court.
Apparently, the venue determines whether or not he gives the fifth.
Depositions are public information.
Well, that's what I thought, unless it's under seal,
or unless they don't always videotape them.
Apparently, the venue.
In fact, that's unusual.
The venue apparently determines whether or not he gives the fifth. Or gets into some sort of rambling answer, which is always different from a previous answer that he gave in similar circumstances elsewhere. He's losing it, I think.
Well, good. Let him lose it all and get hung up by his balls.
Yeah, I want to see him hoist himself on his own petard.
Does he still wear one?
Speaking of
only
petard.
On special occasions.
Speaking of petard, has anyone been watching the new Star Trek?
I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot get Paramount Plus to work for me. It's annoying as hell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't watch it through there, so I don't know.
Picard is the Star Trek we've been waiting for fucking years.
Yeah, you like it too?
It's amazing.
I have to tell you.
One episode left.
My partner and I, we've been talking. I think this might be the best Star Trek series of all of them.
You are not the first person to say that. I've heard a lot of people say that. And no spoilers, okay? I will eventually figure out how to watch it.
And I'll tell you, this particular season, the third season, I think has been and Jeremy, you might agree with me. Is that Jeremy who said that? Who said that?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah. And maybe you agree or disagree. I'm on the edge of my seat the entire episode, entire time.
Which one are y'all talking about?
Picard.
Oh,
final season of Picard is the best Star Trek that's been made yet, including some of the movies. I kid you not.
I mean, it's
Khan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you know what, again, tell me, Jeremy, what you think about this. No spoilers.
Nope.
A lot of times I can at least predict some things. Or I have been, other than last night, somewhat. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, shit, I did not see that coming.
I did not see the very end of the episode coming. Let's put it that way. I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't leaked to the world.
Yeah, the very end.
The very end, yes.
But I'll tell you what. Robin, if you're into Star, you've got to see this because it's got characters from Next Generation and
Voyager, Space Nine.
It's got Worf is in it, Picard obviously is in it, Riker's in it, Seven of Nine is in it, and apparently
Data's in it.
Who?
Data's in it.
Data's in it. Geordi's in it. Apparently, Janeway makes an appearance at some point.
There's a lot of nerdy things in it too that if you listen carefully, they've without spoiling it, they put voices in it people have passed. No joke.
Oh, interesting. But I find myself like a couple times near the end of when they're about to reveal something, and I'll actually tap my screen and see, oh shit, it's near the end. And I'll be goddamned right when they're gonna reveal what you want to see, the credits start rolling. I'm like, oh, you
the only problem is, Rob, if you get to work, Robin, you have to watch Picard from season one. Otherwise, the season won't make as much sense.
So you gotta watch.
Yep.
You can't go in the middle because it won't make any sense. Particularly the last few episodes. It's just been. I mean, everything about it, I think, has been fantastic.
I've looked forward to this as much as I do Yellowstone. I'm a huge Yellowstone fan. Uh-huh. But this is even better than that.
I mean, has anyone been watching Succession? I've seen everyone, but this...
I tried. I hated the characters in Succession more than I hated the characters in Game of Thrones, and that is saying a bunch.
I think that's the point.
I couldn't find a reason to just watch an entire cast being entirely shitty all the time.
I haven't watched any from this current season. I don't know why. But again, I find that just to be... And just when I think that one of them might actually show a little bit of decency, you're like, oh, my God, no, that one is just a fucking asshole, too.
Right. It's like with Game of Thrones. The only characters I liked were the dragons, and I thought that that world would be better off if the dragons just took wing, burned up everybody, and made a dragon world out of it.
I've never seen Game of Thrones. Yes, yes, Scotisha.
A couple of good Scottisha. What the hell is going on?
No, you know, I had a friend of mine. We had a friend, Scott, and Scott's drag name was Scottisha.
There you go. Well, I can see me all done up and dolled up. But anyway, that's not why
no
I
place
called.
To go. Okay.
The two that I'm watching, one is on HBO. It's the second season, I think, of the remake of Perry Mason.
Oh, we're loving Perry Mason.
Oh, God, what a show that is. And the other one is on...
I love Matthew Rhys. He's a wonderful actor. He was great in The Americans.
Oh, yes, he was. Indeed, he was. The other one is on MGM, which used to be Epix, I think. And it's a Spies Among Us or A Spy Among Us. It's about the, that British spy that defected to Russia. What was his name years ago? I can never think of it. But anyway, if you have access to either of those channels, check out both of those shows. It's really quality television.
I'll have to check it out. I get everything I get through a Canadian service that I get through my partner, and I, you know, it's so if anything's on there. Well, that, and I actually watch. There's a great app called or site called BritBox.
I've seen ads for that. Is that any good?
I love it. I just find British comedies to be so much funnier.
Is Keeping Up Appearances on that?
Yes, Keeping Up Appearances.
I would get it just for that.
Faulty Towers.
Faulty Towers is on there.
The one in the store.
Yes. Are You Being Served?
Yes. God damn, that was great.
There was another one called Are You Being Served Again? Or Are You Being Served Now? There's one. One of my favorites is Mrs. Brown's Boys. It's real gutter humor, but I love it.
Is Absolutely Fabulous on there?
Yes.
Love that.
I may have to check that out because I love all those old British shows.
Well, here we are. We are at the end of the program and the end of the week. Thanks, everybody, for a great conversation. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Kevin, up in Massachusetts. I do appreciate it so much that you jumped in. We are now down to 10:35. So I guess we'll be 13:35 on Monday unless some miracles happen with the over-the-weekend crew. Thank you so much for getting us down by over $500. Thank you for the doubling challenge, our anonymous friend. Thank you so much. I've got to close out the Skype group because somewhere along the way I got to get a new iPad or at least get the battery replaced in this one because this one's coming up on 4 years old. It used to be such a trooper. I use it for the Skype group on Fridays and for phone calls during the rest of the week. And I started out at 100%, and 3 hours later, I have 11% of the battery now left. Once upon a time, it would be 50% of the battery left. Oh, well. But that's why I'm going to disconnect rather peremptorily. So thanks to the Skype group, I'm out of there. And I wanted to share something with you on the way out the door. Our dear friend Jessica up in Minnesota took time to sort of address something that I was talking about earlier in the week. And she really put a lot of effort into it. And I think maybe it'll help folks. And, oh, great, I hear thunder. Hopefully the power will stay on until I'm done with what Jessica wrote. For the Horn Family Community Congregation, caught a little Wednesday show and re-listened to where you and Jeremy were discussing the realization of being trans. I talked about this during my conversation, but allow me to reiterate for any newcomers. I grew up in a rural village of 1,500 people in southeast Minnesota, just south of the greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. I was born in 1976, long before the Internet was a common publicly accessible source of information. My town library had a decent selection of magazines and newspapers it carried, but you would probably be hard-pressed to find anything on transgender other than vague references in encyclopedias or medical journals. Hell, transgender, I don't even think was even a word back then, Jessica. If it wasn't on ABC, NBC, or CBS, we didn't really hear about it. The only references to anything trans were jokes, most notably the reference about going to Sweden. No, it was the worn-out tropes commonly seen on sitcoms and other negative stereotypes. The only positive experience I had was when I was 13 and Caroline Cossey was interviewed by Phil Donahue. So, like Terry, Jeremy, and yourself, Robin, how did I catch the trans? In 1950s Mayberry, which is what my childhood was like, how did this kid turn trans? My mother was told I was going to be a girl. She made a pink baby blanket for me and even had the name Holly Noel picked out for me. I was supposed to be a Christmas baby.
I grew up listening to my mother lamenting how she wanted a girl. Did that affect me? Was that what did it? Some would point out watching Sailor Moon in college, ironically, with the three girls in my clique who also transitioned, and playing Dungeons and Dragons and other dice-based role-playing games, usually as female characters. Was that it? Why, at 5 or 6, did I tell my kindergarten or first-grade classmates that I was a girl? Proudly so, until I was mocked and shamed by a bunch of sixth graders. Why, at 16, while I was introspectively questioning my identity in general, did I have a good number of conversations with my feminine side? This redheaded woman, who was as curvaceous as Christina Hendricks and bore an uncanny resemblance to Gillian Anderson, named Jessica, she was the one I sought the most insight from, which I found odd, because I was male. I felt feminine, but I was just an effeminate male. Was I gay? No, because I was attracted to women. What was I? I didn't dare mention this to my classmates. Rural southeastern Minnesota was not a safe place in 1992. If I had let on in any way, shape, or form that I was queer, I would have been dragged behind the gymnasium and had the ever-loving shit kicked out of me. College was more pretending to be male but still questioning. I remember watching Loveline with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla one evening, and a caller asked about fantasizing about being the opposite gender, to which the advice was, "It's perfectly healthy to have fantasies about being the opposite gender, but don't dwell on those thoughts. Let them come, and then let them pass." And so I did. Until 2008 and 2014, when I was dealing with cancer and its after effects, having lost my left testicle and my ability to reproduce, the retroperitoneal lymph node dissection severed the nerve that triggers ejaculation. So I dealt with no longer being an intact and virile male, where I now stood in the hierarchy of masculinity. An Omega Man. I mean, I'm albino, so there's a bit of irony there. That had to be what transed me, right? The psychological fallout from being emasculated? No. It was the social contagion and peer pressure and influence of my three college friends coming out as trans, and I didn't want to be left out, so I decided I wanted to be trans too. Right? Or maybe I was just born trans and questioned from my closeted sanctuary for 25 years before I had the dream. The dream that radically changed my life. The dream where I was at the Sands Hotel in Vegas, and as I slipped off my white terry cloth robe to take a dip in the pool, I looked down at myself and saw a voluptuous female body in a two-piece white bikini with black polka dots. You hear the thunder? And instead of shrugging it off as a weird dream, I did a serious delve into my life, stringing things together like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, and here I am, almost 4 years on hormones and having had facial surgery and now in the process of breast augmentation. I am Jessica. I always have been. Nothing transed me. I just was. It just took a while to get to a place where I felt safe enough to come out and finally be me. And I'm glad you and others in the Horn family congregation are out and living your genuine lives, Robin. And I sincerely hope those who are still in the closet get their days in the sun, too. And I can't say it enough. Your trans family, including non-binary, gender-fluid, and other gender-nonconforming folks, see you, love you, support you, and validate you. And we can't wait to formally welcome you when you feel ready to introduce yourselves to us. And since tomorrow is the second anniversary of my legal name change and getting an F on my birth certificate, I'll offer, wrapping up the program, a $15 challenge to the community in solidarity with the queer folks in the audience. Yes, all queers. The whole LGBTQIA+ community, because the Republicans are out for us all. Trans people are just the beginning. Oh, Jessica, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all that. The bottom line is, nothing transes us. We just are. And I hope people will answer your challenge. Not just because we're $1,035 in the hole, but because it's an act of radical solidarity. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And I still lust after your TR7. So thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging with the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Roger and Steve. Soup.
I hope you're feeling better, Steve. I know you were feeling like ass. And I really, really do hope you've fully recovered. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment, please, wherever you're listening to the podcast. It's the one free, easy thing we can do to help grow the community. Press that heart button on if you listen on TuneIn. Be part of the 1,000 unique individual horn listeners just on that platform alone. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Get your booster, get your flu shot, wipe down your surfaces, help stop the spread of RSV, and maybe that creepy fungus. Wear your masks when you're around maggots because they're a filthy lot. Virus-spewing, self-centered, yeah. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse. You know, one thing, it's worth remembering. We saw flu numbers go down because, well, airborne. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, if somebody comes burbling down the sidewalk at you saying, "That Jake Teixeira was an American hero. He's white, Christian, and male. And anti-war." Well, avoid that Georgia traitor queen like the plague, because she is. And I guess now I'll spend the remainder of the evening wondering if my boy is okay. Thanks for putting up with me. Voicing my concerns. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.